Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction? Devin Tilley here, and we have an amazing podcast that has so many conversations built into this. In fact, this was recorded at the AEC Integration Summit that the audio file was screwed up. So Rachel has been such a champ that she adjusted her schedule right after the conference. And the hard part about this stuff, when you go and leave for a week to work on the business and you have to run back and jump in the business. And this conversation is a re-recording, and we've got it so polished for you all that we've worked so hard on this to have Rachel Ferreira, who is the manager of investments and ideation at Zachary Corporation. And we're building from so much momentum with Todd Sutton, where AOC show 369 Building Connections for Construction. And the main message that is, this has been such a great conversation of Devin jumping into these different conversations that's been building for years from generations. And the punchline is all parties showed up and the owner was there and they passed the baton. And we've been having a lot of great conversations around vertically integrating and horizontally putting all the infrastructure together and trying to figure out how we can make BIM go mainstream from all these amazing early adopters and champions like Todd on a podcast that was just recently released. And how is this going to benefit you? It's as simple as learn by doing. And everything happens for a reason. And there's a couple podcasts from the summit we're going to be re-recording. So we're going to be taking the juices that were flowing there and redoing those after. But we're going to show the social media and all that stuff. That we were all there, we all showed up, we learned by doing, and shout out to Mike from Trimble, Mike Cesari, he just said, you know what, sometimes Ethos said you just got to work on it a little bit longer. And I think that's a lot how BIM works. And 2 years ago, it was called Legally BIM, and then this year, it was The Price is BIM'd. And when we get into the speed round, I'm assuming Rachel may have a little bit more bonus conversation of the beverages we had going in and out of the Price is Right game show. And we just had so much fun, genuinely, just really connecting and having fun and getting these perspectives and being a healthy complement to Todd's show. And the whole thing, we're trying to figure out how can we get these passions and focus on how the dollars flow and try to align this critical data behind it and figure out how to focus on the barriers more than the roadblocks where we can actually work through it instead of just stop and go back to how he's always done it. And they have been using BIM, punchline, and they actually made it work. The amount of conversations I've had about just talking around BIM, they're really making it work. But they really are focusing on the dollars and the flow and trying to line that critical data behind that. And so my perspective for this podcast is that the age-old question is how do you eat an elephant, or how do you eat a BIM elephant is one BIM at a time. And at the undertow of all this stuff is you have to follow the money and figure out these TLAs on the pre-interview with Rachel and at the summit talking through how people speak different things. And if you didn't know, seven times for the first time, I now know TLA stands for a three-letter acronym. And if you go look at some of the other podcasts where Travis Voss with SMACNA, and I got to learn the five-letter acronyms, and there's a whole podcast around that and different examples around all this. But what they do is major systems and bridges and interchanges and roads and all this infrastructure. But at the end of the day, all the contract is still in the paper or 2D. And how are we going to put all this stuff together? And we have to be able to trust the paper and the BIM model. It's not either or, it's and. So how should we be using BIM today is really what Rachel and I have been. We didn't really come out as we were getting to know each other and just ask each other that question. But that's really been one of these deliverables that we've been figuring out. How do we innovate through BIM? And the key thing of the low-hanging fruit of Todd and her team, they've all been working on how do we better estimate? How do we better begin with the end in mind and not just be the low bid, but be the right bid? and really understanding how to be more honest and figuring out how the clashing of the 2D and the 3D and the 4D and the AI and the TLA and the boiling down to say, how do you properly do your own homework and then have the owner to show up and stamp the right set of deliverables? And then figure out how do we have less RFIs and trusting these different models. And then figuring out really how do we use smart bidding platforms to ask the right strategic questions. That was really one of the key comments I heard from Rachel of like, we really have figured out, you know, one person's mistake is another person's goldmine, but that's just not how we want to do construction. And she gave me so many cool stories in and out of the summit that we got to know each other. And the story is just beginning. So as I've got to know Rachel on multiple podcasts, this is the one I hopefully you all listen to and get to know Rachel and have as much fun as possible. Let's get in and know her favorite beverage, or what maybe is not her favorite beverage, and build from there. What's your favorite beverage?
I'll start with what is not my favorite beverage. When we recorded this the first time, it was the happy hour the night before, but now it was last week. But I'm a Texas girl, lived here my whole life, most of it in San Antonio. And when we were doing the opening, like mingling session, I heard Aaron Wright order a Shiner with a lime. And a Shiner is a Bock beer, if you're not familiar. I was like, wait, what? And so I just turn around and I said, Aaron, did I hear that correctly? Did you just order a Shiner with a lime? He's like, yeah, it's a San Antonio thing. Like, I assure you that is not a San Antonio thing. I have lived there, except for college, my whole life. And I've never heard somebody order Shiner with a lime. Now, throughout the rest of the week, the other times we're all at the bar, and every time he ordered one of those, I did make sure to be around and ask the bartender, has anybody ever ordered one of those from you? And every bartender was like, no, this is a first. We even did an Instagram poll to see Aaron, and I think one of his cousins that he paid to vote in his favor said that the Shiner comes with a lime, but otherwise nobody says a Shiner should go with a lime. A Mexican beer, all day long. But if I'm ordering my favorite drink, it's a Vucari. It's a classic New Orleans cocktail. It's not very common to find. If you find a bartender that can make one, order it. A Vucari. It's if you like a Sazerac or an old fashioned, that might be up your alley. If the bartender asks you what goes in that or let me look it up, then order an old fashioned. Don't let them make it for you because it won't be right.
What a great lead in. And the undertone theme of all of these Zachary interactions and what we're going to unfold a little bit today was getting the right people to show up at the right time. And the fast forward at the end of the summit, you and I were really having as much fun as possible because we were all having whatever of your favorite beverage, and Nathan and the summit put together this amazing night of like all people wearing wigs and all of us wearing different all wearing Hawaiian shirts, but different teams and themes and game show. And we all just, you know, you just let your guard down because you've built trust. And it was one of those moments of a picture that I did a presentation to my team when I came back, and shout out to Charlie Dunn, because he used all the algorithms and said, here's the four things, go make them your own and get back to your team of when they ask why you should pay to do this, which is really important. We're going to unpack that. But my favorite part of the whole week last week was getting a private concert. And I heard the next morning that I went to bed because I have to make sure I hit record on most of the podcasts and get up to with Travis. And I actually got up and went swimming with Charlie and some of the other people the next morning. So it forced me to, and that's kind of why I commit to that stuff, because you got to keep it in check. But you mentioned Aaron, who is like not really, the beverage was not your cup of tea, but wow, was he a leader on this impromptu of like, seven times for the first time of just coaching people to share passions. And so that's what we're trying to do on this speed round of fast getting people inside the tent, if you will, to work together. Tell us about the favorite place that you've traveled, Rachel.
I'm going to have to name two. I love to travel to do philanthropy. Volunteering is very integral. It's been a part of my life, my entire life. It's actually why I ended up at Zachary. I almost went into consulting. That's what my degrees were, both in civil engineering, and almost did that, but fell in love with the volunteer work that Zachary did. So I've been to Africa twice, once with Zachary to build bridges with Bridges to Prosperity, and another time my husband and I were on the board of a nonprofit called Imani Collective. So I love going to Africa. There's a piece there that just can't really be explained. You have to experience it when you're out in nature. It's amazing. If I'm going on vacation for pure pleasure, travel, Italy, not that I'm counting. I think I leave in 25 days, something like that. But my husband's a first generation American. His family's from Italy, and absolutely love the food, the scenery, the everything. It's beautiful. I love Italy.
Awesome. Well, what do you like to do outside of construction that we're going to unpack here a little bit that we passionately call the art of construction?
I have funny old lady hobbies. ever since I was in my 20s, I started quilting. And then when I had kids, I started cross stitching. And my office is full of it, Americana cross stitching. So I hang out with ladies. I go on these cross stitching retreats, and that's how I really get to relax and spend time with women. Maybe between having two sons, I'm a full time caregiver for my dad, my husband, and I work in construction. I'm around men all the time, so that's how I get to go hang out with the girls.
And your style points are huge. One of the things I learned about was how you properly do your nails with another gentleman at the table. When I said, man, those nails are amazing. She's like, yeah, and I got to go change them. I'm like, what do you mean? They looked like perfect. She's like, no, see how they've grown out a little bit.
Oh, and they're even better now.
And now they're new. See, like you did it, right? Like finding a way to fit it all in, right? So good on you, Rachel, for making time and being a leader and all of this great stuff. It's such an honor to have you on the podcast. What is your story that led you to being the manager of investments and ideation at Zachary?
So I have 2 degrees in civil engineering from A&M. And when I was leaving grad school, a family friend asked me to interview at Zachary. I had no desire to work in construction. Honestly, all I knew about Zachary, it was the name of the engineering building on campus, but I didn't know anything about it. But I went on the interview. I did no due diligence, shame on me. But I fell in love with the company and the people, the culture, the giving back to the community. The culture of Zachary is just huge. Our values are very important. And I've been here for 17 years. I start off in estimating. My specialty was concrete paving and batch plants. Then I helped do our ERP implementation. I was the right-hand man for Ranjit, who ran that project and deployed a huge ERP system throughout our whole company. I was a system admin for our document control system. A few months into helping build that, I was told, hey, just so you know, Zachary's tried like 20 of these in 10 years and they've all failed. Okay, well, we've been using the system we built for over a decade now, so that went well. And a couple years ago, David Zachary asked me to run an intellectual property company. We have IP that's been sitting there and turn it into a revenue stream. And so my title's an uncommon one. He came up with it, but I manage our direct and indirect investments in different construction tech. And those relationships, we're involved in some venture capital, but also taking our own IP to market at some point. And it's not for just for construction. Our parent company, we also have cement and aggregate business and hotels. So it's also innovation supporting those companies as well.
I'm really curious your take of all the takes you and I have done, whether I screwed up or this person did this or that, from show 369, Building Connections for Construction. Can you build on the release before and your take of what Todd had talked about at the director of construction of now where you're at on these points of view?
Well, it's really important to get all the parties in the room. That's the right podcast, right? Based on last year's, right?
Yep.
So when we had the CPC summit last year, it was shocking that the owner actually came. And us as horizontal contractors have the benefit of there's essentially 50 DOTs, you know, Departments of Transportation, one per state, and then you have your Federal Highway Administration. So there's really 51 owners that you need to get on board. Whereas in the vertical space, to have an owner present, there's thousands and thousands of them. And so it was great to have the owner there, the engineer, and it was the actual engineer that designed the first digital delivery project for Texas. And not just the engineer from Kim, like not just Kimley Horn, but the actual engineer that did the design. And us as a contractor and some trade providers. And everybody was there, and it allowed us to have very open and honest conversation about how to move forward. We all know that we want the industry to move forward, but we handcuff ourselves, right? It's where the owner doesn't necessarily have the ability to critically review plans, and they don't want to be sued if something's incorrect in them. So we're just not going to use the BIM model, has been the solution for years. And the engineer's going to design plans, but then take the smart plan set and turn it into paper. And then that's going to be our contract. And we got to have conversations about how to move us forward. Let's take down the egos. Let's take down the barriers. Let's have honest conversation. At the end of the day, it was mostly litigious concerns. We're in a very litigious society today. Right. But how can we move forward? And at the end of the day, we've talked about follow the money. That impacts the taxpayer, right? If a job is designed a certain way, the files aren't cleaned up, and I work off of a BIM model to build it, and then there's things that have to be fixed, that costs the taxpayer more dollars.
Right.
And so we want to get to the place where you hand us a set of drawings and we build off of that. We don't want to have to do a lot of change orders, but change orders are necessary in today's market. They're absolutely necessary because so many things change on a project that are related to the design or how the design is printed on paper. And so having the right people in the room to have the right conversations. And from that summit last year, they actually pivoted, which was great. TxDOT, the owner, rather than just releasing only a BEM file and really, I think, setting our industry up for failure, because most contractors and certainly trade providers would not be prepared to jump from 2D paper to a BEM model,
right,
and be able to accurately estimate and bid something. That's a huge swing of the pendulum. And so we had conversations about let's meet in the middle, like provide a bid model, provide some paper, and allow people to get comfortable with it. Look at the paper. This is what I know. This is what I'm familiar with. And this is what it looks like in the model. And so to connect those two and help transition in a smooth way, that allows us to be successful with BIM modeling in the 3D space and allows us to use a BIM model as a legal document. And so we're making progress and we're moving forward. And I don't think that would have been possible had we not had the CPC summit last year and had all the parties there and allowed that, like Todd talked about, that connection between each of the right parties so that we can have progress.
I love that. And in our vertical, yeah, last year and this year was really about how the subs and the G's, the big picture and the small picture, like, you know, is it a war, a feud? How are we fueling and figuring out the right way to say, correct me if I'm wrong, that you guys do a lot of big, big projects. And this current particular case study that you leaned into was really Zachary like leaning into where it was like a bite-sized project to then have these aha moments that in a perfect world, you'd have a beginning, middle, and end, and then you just share the story. But that's not how construction works. Like in a good way, it's evolving to where it's actually taking a little bit more time. And then you say, well, then see, there goes BIM again. It didn't work. It just, all this stuff. And the reality is it's taking more time because there's a fork in the road from that versus just falling back and doing it the way we've always done it. And you guys are trying to lead the right way to be the provider to those solutions instead of just be the low bid is really the what we're trying to break through the ceiling. Am I understanding the evolution of that, of the kind of 2 years and 2 minutes of that particular case study? Because I think people, if they're going to lean into this BIM stuff, you got to understand, you got to meet the people, businesses, and municipalities kind of where they are. And you have to find those bite-sized pieces. And you have to really lean into it and make it be valuable for you and then the collective we, and then hopefully why you would do a one source BIM model may come together someday. But there's a lot of integration to make that thing happen.
Definitely, definitely. And there's, I mean, we had a lot of progress in our group this year discussing, one, we decided to kind of, you talked about doing, you know, BIM being an elephant, having these bite-sized pieces. Okay, we've got the owner starting to work on the BIM model being a legal document. Great. What we can now focus on as an industry is, or what we focus on at CPC now is breaking that down a little bit smaller. So how do we use BIM just for estimating? So typically in our world, you get a set of PDF plans and you have 2 to 4 weeks, somewhere in that range, to bid a job. And then you might get a BIM model once you win the job. So now let's get it to move. You know, the owner did release a BIM model for estimating last time. Now we need to look at the steps. Okay, what can we do to set our industry up for success to be able to estimate off of a model? Okay, what standards do we need to have? What similarities do there need to be between all the different software systems, where TxDOT at least uses Bentley MicroStation, but maybe somebody's using Autodesk. And so how, and the files do not convert nice, despite what people want to pretend or say they don't. And so how can we make steps forward to make it where we have standards with bidding, with line libraries, with weights of different, to represent different components? How do we tackle the specifically the estimating part of using a BIM model? So that's what we're
totally
on
agree. That's the key. That's the low hanging fruit that you have to do it anyway. What's the best way to begin with the end in mind? Because construction has so many grenades built in downstream that the people that have been successful, and we're going to talk about that next, of Zachary that's been around for a while, there's times you just have to figure out what you have to lean into to be successful up and downstream. And that's, you know, that's what I love about this summit. It's probably not a fair question. Is like, what is that aha moment at the summit? Well, that's really not what it is, because it's so many conversations weaving in and out of that specific moment in time. But what's cool is you have these people that are truly learning by doing. They've lived the life of construction, so they give perspectives of actually breaking through the ceiling. I think about Mike again saying, like, with Trimble saying they're really realizing, like, there is no silver bullet. There's not one source of truth, because it's impossible. Like, so now if we say there isn't just one solution to this thing, because we've now spent generations of everyone trying to find that one thing. Of, you said I implemented an ERP. It wasn't just one thing and that did everything for Zachary. It's a lot of things coming together. But what are kind of your aha moments, or where's Rachel at coming in and out of this year's summit, recording this April 30th of 2025, that it's been years of us maybe knowing each other's names, but now like leaning in to say, okay, Zachary, Art of Construction, how can those brands, how can we help lift that up to build better buildings through these different platforms? And we're going to talk about Zachary next.
So one of the aha moments came out of our working group. So specifically about the BIM for the horizontal construction. And that was what I mentioned earlier, is trying to come up with standards to make it easier for us to use different platforms to consume those BIM models and to make it easier to do the estimating. So that's, I think, the next thing that our group at least wants to tackle. A broader aha moment that was from the larger room, I really like the exercises that Charlie did with us with Legos.
Totally.
I've got mine hanging out right back here. They're blurry, but
yes.
Here's my little race car.
Oh, in hindsight, I wish I would have. I didn't keep mine. I wish I would have.
Oh, well, the Legos that you didn't keep, my kids got to have, so that was amazing. And then here's the Legos that represent me. But
so what she's showing is like the, and I talked about this on the last podcast too, of like, how do you, Charlie just said, express yourself through the Lego. And it was really interesting, like how awesome it was. But then I just texted Charlie yesterday. I said, Charlie, the social media is so cool. And now you actually kept them and showing them to me that are sitting there in your office, of like, that is like that part we're all proud of it, right? And you, and you yeah. and I, like, later we're showing each other, so what, give me that. And then it really helped us, like, a really cool icebreaker that we're actually going to be implementing in some of the upcoming mm-hmm. Turkey Toe retreats, which I just sent you an email on that outside of that, of like, okay. how do you, like, our, at my leadership conference with my team, we're going to use that at our annual planning session. Well, if nothing else, like, feedback like that is really, really cool, right?
It was fun. And it, what the aha moment I had that I, one, when we're in the middle of the activity, we built race cars in just simple terms, I guess, for the podcast. But we have a Zachary annual meeting and I'm on the committee for that. And so I was texting who's going to be the chair next year. I was like, I've got this great guy. I want him to come. This is going to be a great, like, in the morning exercise to kind of get people to open their brains up and be prepare themselves for the day. And I loved what Charlie had to say about tri-storming instead of brainstorming, where you do something and then you try it. Instead of, I think sometimes we get in our head too much and we try to get it perfect on paper. And then it blocks us from actually, we'd probably make more progress if, let's try this. Okay, we raced the car. It didn't work. Let me adjust this. Let me tweak that. I really loved the tri-storming. So that was one of my aha moments I took away that I really liked.
All right. So I love it when I get to meet multiple people in a legacy company, but they don't just only talk about the legacy. They talk about, like, I've been here, I think you said 17 years. I think Todd said like 20 some years. And like,
I think he's like 35, baby.
Okay. 35, like a long time. But like, if you go back and listen to his podcast, when I asked him, what is Zachary Corporation? We're not going to go into a deep dive of that. And he went passionately around the core values, like, wasn't just like saying them, and talked about how he was part of it and the company. And you and I, we had a great conversation that we can talk about more off air and in the Art of Construction Master Facilitators community about how people stay or don't stay when it comes to that stuff, which is really important. But then you talked about the Zachary annual meeting. Like you just said, you were the chair and you talked about your theme of like the next century of 100 years. And I really want the audience to hear about your excitement and more than just, yes, you shouldn't put a lime in your shiner box like we talked about, but why you really should show up and how it really is so important to have foundational core values and people that believe in them.
Yeah, so last year was 100 years of business for us. And so this year, our theme for our annual meeting was next century, next level. So it was, okay, we're looking forward. What do we need to do to take it to the next level? Our core values are who we are, like who Zachary is. That hasn't changed. If you go back to David Zachary, he's the third generation owner. So his grandfather's philosophy, a lot of our culture renovation that we're doing right now is based on, or I guess the themes that we've come up with are based around his grandfather's philosophy. One of them being like, be uncommon. So be uncommon is around like doing the right thing because it's right. And that's not necessarily common in today's society, right? You do what's going to save you money or cut corners or whatever, things like that. We're going to do what's right because it's right. And that's just it. Own it is another one. Like, you screw up, own it, move on, learn from it, right? Accountability really is own it. So we're doing this culture renovation and we're looking forward at, we have this legacy, but we're not going to rest on our laurels. We want this company to be celebrating its 200th anniversary in 100 years. So what do we need to do? What do we need to keep and maintain? And then what do we need to adjust to the times or whatever to move forward and to truly be successful? And our core values are not changing. That's who we are. And Todd got into those a lot. If you want to hear about him, go listen to his episode. But we want to build off of that legacy, but not take it for granted and keep moving forward.
Well, I love that answer, and ask for a introduction to your social media team, because you can't fake what you and Todd said. and this whole theme around the Zachary podcast and the AEC Integration Summit is like, I think about like the podcast I did with Aquifer, and I said, why are you involved in this? Why should you do this? And he said, because you have to show up if you're going to drive innovation. And that really hit home to me. And I really felt that with you and all the team of Zachary. And that's really cool. So I'm curious, you know, from the beginning, you guys have been involved in this. And what was, so leaning into these type of summits like Nathan's AEC Integration Summit that we're honored to be part of, why does Zachary sponsor these events?
You know, we have a very rich history of innovation. You know, CPM scheduling, that is the basis for P6 and what we all use today to do scheduling. Zachary created that with IBM way back in the day when a computer took up a massive room. We have always tried to drive innovation. The reason we did our whole ERP implementation is because we couldn't find tools on the market that fit our needs as a self-performing GC. So we built our own tools. We built our own mobile apps. We've just always been on the front end of innovation. When we used to be in the vertical space, Zachary created modular construction to build the Hilton Palacio del Rio Hotel on the Riverwalk in San Antonio and set a world's record to get it in place before the World's Fair. And so actually created the flywheel that we have patents around that flew the mods up, basically just concrete culverts, flew them up into space, up and placed them on top of each other. And they had the hotel bed made inside the culvert when they were stacking them. I mean, we've just always wanted to be change makers. We want to go out there and build a better society for ourselves, for the people and the communities that we build around. And, you know, we like to, the slogan on one of our books comes from, I think, the history of Zachary as well, but we're a company of dreamers and builders is kind of our tagline.
And that.
Part of dreaming is innovating.
Awesome. Well, it's been an honor getting to know you and Todd and getting a taste of what Zachary's all about. And we'll link all this stuff together in the show notes. But as we work on closing this thing out of in and out all these moments of time, we're really trying to push technology forward on this megaphone, and it's built for the builders and affiliates, just like Zachary. And you talked about the project on how BIM is being successful, but we have to get more mass adoption, and it takes people like Zachary to step up, and that's why we really wanted to express that. But I'm really curious from your point of view of spending a little time inside the Zachary walls and coming in and out of all these different fun times like we just expressed. What is your crystal ball for the future when it comes to technology and construction?
You know, it's funny that we've spoken this long and we haven't even talked about AI yet, but AI is infiltrating everywhere, right? And there's lots of fake AI out there where it's a wrapper on ChatGPT and it's really like construction AI. But I think the game changers in this industry are going to be ones that are truly building like an AI knowledge base that understands construction and allows people to be like more efficient in their jobs. Let's detect change orders before we know that they're coming. Let's, you know, you get an email and it tells you, you know, this is changed, and an AI agent is going to be able to go and look at things and come back and say, that's going to impact this in your schedule, this with this material delivery, et cetera. I'm actually working with a few companies that are in stealth mode, and it's pretty exciting to see the tools that are coming down the pike. But AI is certainly going to change our industry. And I'm excited to see where it's going, specifically with like AI type of project manager assistance and like autonomous equipment, that those kind of things.
I love it. And the final question we always ask, what is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
Definitely like events like CPC, where you're networking and you get out there and you get to meet people and learn what you like, learn about what you don't even know what to ask about.
Totally.
I love groups like CPC where you interact with others, and I don't go there with this preconceived notion of I'm going to go network with these specific people. You just have these natural conversations. And you find these alignments and you find other people who are like-minded that are trying to, you know, for this group, it's, we're all wanting to innovate. We're all wanting to create things in the construction space. But maybe if, you know, you're a builder in your city and you go to network at certain events where you find out that there being maybe another business that's doing things a little bit differently than you are. And there's room and space in our industry for us to improve each other, right? There's plenty of things being built, and there's a lot of things that people think are trade secrets that maybe aren't. And so I think networking, sharing, and trying to build each other up in the industry is just going to help, you know, move the whole industry forward at events like this.
Rachel's now signed up in the Art of Construction Master Facilitator community, just gave her all this stuff. So if you want to meet people like Rachel and Devin in these stories, and you're intrigued about that, of the Chad Pearsons in there and the Nathan Woods, a lot of people that we've been talking about on upcoming podcasts, of getting involved in and out of these threads, where is a place that you can just really have a conversation and not just search it up, as my 10-year-old daughter says, and she comes into my computer, and it's fascinating how they think, right? So my call to action is get involved in different communities, but get real about it. Like, don't just check the box, because there's going to be a lot of that stuff of fake it till you make it, right? And then how do we move this thing forward? So Rachel, definitely thank you and Zachary. Make sure this gets in the right, and we give credit to Zachary for being allowing us to do this, we've talked 3 times for this gold that we released. And thank you for always smiling and giving good, being a good listener and feedback. It's really been an honor getting to know you. And I'm honored to have you in the Master Facilitators community and meeting you through Nathan's platform and what Zachary's doing and being part of it when the next 100 years. And it's the Art of Construction podcast, not the Devin and Rachel show. Like, we are honored to be ones that step up and share these stories, but a leader's only as good as its team, right? And it's the team that I've got to meet from Zachary is pretty awesome, and I'm excited for where the future goes. So keep those nails looking great and all your great stuff, and we're excited to see you at the next summit meetup or in the Art of Construction Master Facilitators community. Thanks for sharing your story.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, crush it out there, tribe.